You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the program where we do what we say. We lean into the local issues. And that's not to say we don't have our concerns about, you know, obviously presidential elections and what's going on in Ukraine and in Israel. And we're concerned about the U.S. Senate race. But what we do here on Lean Local is we kind of get as close to the flame as we can. What's kind of going right here in our district in Greater Green Bay. And something that is coming up, as you all know, are the assembly races. And as you know, there's 99 assembly districts. They each represent about 60,000 people. So you take 99 times 60, then that's how you get the, 6 million people, 5.9 million people living in the state of Wisconsin. And that's all broken up into these 99 assembly districts. And there's been some redistricting going on, which you're all aware of. You read that. We have an interesting person today for two reasons. Jane Benson was involved in some of these redistricting maps like 7 years ago. This has been going on forever. And she's also a candidate for Assembly District 4, which is Suamico, Howard,
Howard, Suamico, and a good portion of Oconto County.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And just a little bit of Green Bay, okay, Northwest.
We got to claim a little bit of Green Bay. I mean, it's like 100% Green Bay, you know, especially if we go to the Super Bowl, you know, then you really want that. But Jane is a candidate. And, you know, when I have you people come in and come on this show, I know a little bit about politics and I think it's difficult. I think it can be, I have told everyone that I think everyone should be a waiter, waitress, and everyone should run for politics because it humbles you. It's a difficult process, but you're doing it. Let me ask you why. What's your motivation?
I worked for seven years with nonpartisan organizations on the fair voting maps issue. So during that time, I grew really familiar with the rigidity of the structure and how, even though at the state level, candidates would continue to win. I think it was 16 out of the last 17 statewide races. Democrats would win, but the assembly especially was rigid with 66% of Republicans winning and 33% of Democrats winning. So it's when you're a very purple state leaning Democrat, but your assembly does not reflect that, it's a true indicator that that's just not a healthy situation.
And that was the impetus for you running for office after you learned that it would be, in your eyes, a fair district.
And what I saw is the power that was unleashed as people began to understand their vote would matter this time more than it had in a long time.
But we're still, you mentioned the numbers, we're still skewed heavily Republican, right? 64. Out of the seats, 64 out of the 99 seats?
Right now. In the assembly today, yes, that's
okay,
true.
Okay, and you're thinking this redistricting is going to get people who are like, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't matter, that this time, because of the new maps, mm-hmm. because of your efforts over the last 7 years, more people will get out.
Yes, I believe that.
I
feel that at the doors.
What I think is interesting about this and healthy about this is I think there's more candidates.
We have 97 out of 99 seats are contested in the assembly. That's a first for the state.
That's pretty healthy.
You bet.
We sure don't see that in some races. Like even the county, you know, here in Brown County has just been, I think it's over half just run unopposed. And that's not healthy for, the communication isn't as good. And there's a lot of reasons to have contested races, right? You're getting your views out as your opponent is.
Absolutely. And the public, what I look at it as is it's a bully pulpit to talk about issues that really do matter to the majority of people. So part of the reason I'm running, even though it's quite a red district, it's a Republican district, mm-hmm. is it gives me a chance to talk about what I know matters to people.
And I think a good, whoever wins the race, you or your opponent, if the other person got a lot of votes, you got to look at what they were running on. I mean, there may, you know what I mean? There, you've got to, at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for the district, you know? And let me ask you, I'm going to jump ahead here. I usually wait till the end of this, but so you're working on these maps. Have you talked about term limits? Have you thought about that?
I think it would be great to have term limits.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do. I mean, even my opponent has been in there for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and in a lot of ways, it's been kind of a rubber stamp of what the speaker wants. So I think it would be great for the people of our district to have a change.
Well, if you get elected and you work on that, you come and see me because I'll help you. I'm a big term limits guy. We have that in the city of Green Bay, right? 16 years. I don't know what number you have. It's 12 years. I'm sorry, it's 12 years. And we have that for the mayor, for the city council, and for a municipal judge. And you know, I look at these races, and even in our community, even in the county here, it's crazy.
Yeah,
24 years unopposed.
Yeah, 12 years is a great number.
It
I
is.
Think.
It is, and if you can't get it done in 12 years, but people say, well, the voters decide that. I mean, we went through this at the city. I'm sure you followed that, but. You know, they're like, oh, the voters want to decide. So we took it to a binding referendum, which was hard to get to a binding. Anything advisory, they'll vote for. But to get it to a binding where you to undo it, you have to get the public. So, and I think the smallest district who supported term limits was like 84%. I mean, it was just, when's the last time you saw something that went 84%? So it's just, and some of it was in the 90s. It's just, so people want that. I'm glad you're going to support that. Not everybody is. Who's running? I ask that question all the time. And thank you for saying that. So, all right. So there's these redistricting of maps. Term limits is important, but like, what are the 1, 2, 3 things that are driving you for the state, for the district?
The things I have on my platform, I call caring communities, clean water, and reproductive rights. And when I say caring communities, I think we all have a feeling about what caring communities look like. They're places that have fair school funding, they have affordable housing, they have childcare available, they have good paying jobs, they have the things that make a community hang together and feel together, ways for the elderly to age with dignity, people with disabilities to age with dignity. Those are all parts of a healthy community and a caring community.
Don't you think we're doing a lot of that now?
I think when I knock doors and
I was going to ask you, my question is always like, what are you hearing at the doors? I mean, you have your personal beliefs, but yeah, let's segue to that.
One of the things I hear at the doors a lot is affordable housing, and rentals in particular are really hard for people. They're paying so much more than those of us who were fortunate enough to lock in mortgages that were 30-year mortgages at low interest rates. They're paying way more per month for rent than we're paying for our mortgages.
Well,
and I'm hearing that people who don't make enough money but who have vouchers, for example, to help underwrite their rent, the landlords won't take them because there are so many people waiting in line. They don't have to accept people who have vouchers.
That is all true. I think, and when you talk about affordable housing, like I want to just drill down a little bit on that. Affordable rents, because here's the problem with affordable rents. These kids or adults, whoever, they're not building equity. You know, whereas you and I, when we had a house payment of whatever, I don't know, let's say it was $800. Well, eventually a lot of that went to the equity of the house. I mean, when you first start out, it's all interest. But, you know, all of a sudden it's like, holy mackerel, you know, I own $60,000 of equity. You know, I could have saved $60,000 and all of a sudden it's $80,000. And that concerns me is, are they paying rent and building up a savings account? And I don't think that is. So I would like to see affordable, you know, single family homes, affordable condos, something where you can build some equity, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the big question comes in, you know, how does that happen? I have this idea that unfettered capitalism, meaning capitalism with no guide rails, is not a healthy thing. And there are times now where you have developers getting in and buying land and developing, whether it's neighborhoods or rental properties, big apartment complexes, where it's only about profit, and there's nothing that holds them back from setting rates that keep driving the rental rates up higher and higher, or the house purchase rates up higher and higher. There's no defense for the general population. So that's one of the things I look at is where should that control be?
I wanted to ask you that because we live in a capitalist economy, right? Yeah. That's what we do. And it's kind of like, is it right or wrong? But, you know, then yeah, I'm studying when you come in here about my class, capitalism versus socialism economics. That's what's on my desk. But how do you control that? I mean, like, what are you thinking of rent subsidies? I mean, even that's being talked about on the national level. Let's give everybody $25,000 more to buy a house. I'm not sure that's the answer. Quite honestly, I think that could drive the price of housing up $25,000. But I mean, what are some of the things for affordable rent? Because I hear what you're saying.
Right. And I don't have the answers to it. I just recognize that these are deep-seated problems that are growing now more than they were in the past.
All right. Okay. And we are here with Jane Benson, who is very involved in the community, a Suamico native?
22 years.
Close enough. That's a long time to be in a community. You are running for the assembly district four. Mm-hmm. Which encompasses part of Howard, a small part of Green Bay, and some of Oconto County, right?
That's exactly all of Howard, all of Suamico, and a good portion of Oconto County.
All right, and we're talking about some of the 2-3 things that you want to bring to the table. It's an important job. It really is. I think some people just kind of breeze over the assembly. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, you've got as much power as the Senate. Now, granted, there's 99 people versus 33, but it's so important. And if that issue of affordable housing, that's just a struggle for kids, even kids with money. It's a struggle to get into the game, and we need to figure out a way to do that. All right, we come back here. We're going to talk a little bit about some things that the Wisconsin legislator did and didn't do, you know, this last year, and I want to get your opinions on that. So we're going to be right back. Stick around. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our special guest, Jane Benson, candidate for Assembly District 4. Did you see the movie Suits?
I
see the man who almost died for you and me, you giving all the peace of life for your wife. Everybody wanna know how it feels. Everybody wanna see what it's like. My baby wanna be a queen. Well, alright, we all deserve to find the peace in this life.
All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt and our special guest, Jane Benson, who is a candidate for the Assembly 4th District, which is all of Howard, Suamico, and part of Oconto County, and a slice of Green Bay. And we're talking about what drives her to run for office, because it's not easy. I mean, social media, and sometimes people aren't as nice as they could be. And you're getting out there knocking on doors. And we talked about one of the big issues that's driving you is affordable housing. And when we think about that, we think about the youth, but there's elderly people that need some assistance as well.
Well, when we think about the elderly, what happens to them is they have paid off their houses, but the rates of taxation get so high, they're forced out of their homes because they can't pay the taxes anymore. And then when they try to find another place to live, the rental rates are super high. Or if they try to get into assisted living, or a nursing home even, then we get into an area that I really would like to talk about, which is expansion of Medicaid and reimbursement of Medicaid costs.
Can I, before we jump to that, can I just get back to those of us who paid off our homes that are getting a little bit older?
Yeah.
Have you looked at, what did they do in California? Wasn't it was Proposition X or something where they just froze the taxes if you're X age? If you propose that, I would look at that. I mean, that'd be awesome, right? Because your taxes go up $1,000. That's a lot of money, especially for people who are on a fixed income. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
So, and but to freeze property taxes for the elderly, that would, I think people, I can only speak for myself. I think people really want to stay in their own home. They do.
I agree.
You look around, those walls all have memories and you know. Anyway, so go ahead. You were talking about the Medicaid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me what your plans are on that.
Well, I mean, we are one of only 10 states in the whole United States that has not taken expansion of Medicaid. And it amounts to billions of dollars for each budget session. So that's a place where we could bring money in. It's federal money. We would be bringing that into the state to help us pay for medical bills, to help us support the elderly so they can live a more dignified life. The other part of it is reimbursement of Medicaid costs. And that's different than expanding Medicaid. The reimbursement of Medicaid costs has to do with when you go to the doctor as an older person or a person who can't afford it, you go in as a Medicaid patient potentially. And our state level of reimbursement for those visits is so low that doctors and clinics, hospitals are losing money on those patients. So they're beginning more and more to turn away those patients. They won't even take them because what they have been doing is they take the patient, take a loss, and then they make it up on insured patients.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that they can turn away people because of that. Can they?
My brother was a doctor here for 32 years, and from what I understood from him, yes, they are beginning to turn people away.
I know these guys are getting hurt because their reimbursements are pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can we afford this? So what do? They go to people like us and say, well, you know, you've got great insurance, so I'm going to tack it on you. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you're looking at that. Hey, let's talk about jobs. I mean, I think Wisconsin is doing all right, but it's a competitive world out there, right? I mean, we've got, you know, Indiana chipping at us all the time, Minnesota, a little bit Illinois. Have you looked at the economics of what we're doing here, and do you have any ideas to help strengthen that?
Well, our employment rate, our number of people employed is super high.
That's great.
And our unemployment rate is one of the lowest in the country.
Yep.
So, I mean, as far as needing more jobs, yes, we can always expand if we have the workers. But right now, we hear complaints that we don't have workers enough.
I'm glad you said that, because that is a true statement. I've heard candidates come in and say, well, we need more jobs. We really don't. We need more employees. And take this the right way, but we need better trained employees. I mean, I teach at the technical college here, and those kids are going to make a lot of money. I mean, really, it's pretty cool because everybody, you know, the last thing this world needs is, you know, another liberal arts major like me. You know, you get people who know how to do things. And yeah, I hope you're looking at funding that. Some of these kids, it's very expensive for them.
You know, something that's interesting to me is a lot of unions lost a lot of rights back 10 years ago. And they haven't fully recovered from that by any means. But the unions used to train the people who worked for corporations that had special needs, special kinds of jobs that were hands-on jobs, the kinds you're talking about that the technical colleges train on now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me that says, are we in a situation where we are giving corporate welfare to corporations by taxpayers funding technical colleges for those corporations? And that's something I would like to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Do we go back to unions doing more of those apprenticeships and the training? Or are corporations paying a fair share toward these technical colleges to develop curricula and get students graduated who will take those jobs. And you're absolutely right that it's the hands-on work that's so important. And our state is built on manufacturing. That's where we our roots come from, manufacturing.
Right. But with that said, I just want to, I make a joke about me being a liberal arts major. I'm not. I got a business degree. I went to a liberal arts college. But what about the entrepreneur? We weren't doing real well. I think we're doing better now, but like I'm all into that. I you know, and if you look at across the street, you know, Schreiber, and you look at Schneider Trucking, and you know, Craig Dickman's doing a great job, and you know, Bob Atwell started Nicolet Bank, and this entrepreneurial, we got to get behind them too, because I think they stay local.
I agree with that, and what I've seen though is how Governor Evers spent federal money and spread it around the whole state. And he encouraged a lot of young businesses, new businesses to form. And it was with the COVID money, that's where a lot of that money came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We are going to be wrapping up. These are pretty short segments, aren't they? You're like, how long am I going to be here? Not very long. I want to talk a little bit about how do you plan to engage, you know, and with your district? You know, that's hard. You got 60,000 people out there that all want to know what's going on. Do you have some thoughts on how to communicate with them?
Well, the Oconto area is so spread out that that is more about mailers and reaching them through radio and print. And in Howard and Suamico, I'm knocking on hundreds and hundreds of doors. We have meet and greets, and that we're doing in Oconto as well. So it's ways for people to bring in new people and to have groups of people gathering together.
And they really have some good ideas.
Oh, they do.
They do. You got to get to the front line. I mean, I was one that did a lot of events. All right. So, Jane Benson, you are a candidate for the Assembly 4th District for the Assembly race that's coming up. Just last 30 seconds, give us your pitch. Why are we going to vote for you?
You're going to vote for me because I have a life of service. And I truly am one of those people who believes that we do need to take care of each other. And we need to watch out for our resources. We didn't get a chance to talk about water, but water is a big issue with the Bay of Green Bay being all along the east side of the 4th District.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you. We will build that caring community, as you so said. Jane Benson, Assembly District 4 candidate. Thank you for joining Lean Local. We're going to be back with the other candidate for District 4 in just a minute. Lean Local, Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Lean Local. Again, we are the show that does what we say, and we kind of lean into what's going on here locally in Greater Green Bay. As we talked about at the top of the hour, big races coming up this November are the Assembly races. And as most of you know there's 99 Assembly districts in the state of Wisconsin that each represent close to 60,000 people. And I want to thank Jane Benson for coming on our first half hour, who is, of course, one of the candidates in District 4. She is the other candidate is the incumbent, and Dave Steffen, who has been, 10, 12? How long have you been in there, Dave?
It's been 10 years now.
10 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I got to ask you, though. All right. Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. But this is an important part of our democracy, of our legislative body. Everybody thinks, well, you got the governor. Well, we have a system of checks and balances, and you are a big part of that system. However, as I asked all the candidates that I had on here on the Lean Local show, my first question for someone who's been in politics or was in politics for 20 years, like, why? I mean, it's tough. You're not making much money, right? 56, 57,000 or whatever.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yes.
Well, hey, it's public knowledge. you know, and it's it's tough. It's, you know, I sometimes think everyone should be a waiter, waitress.
Yes.
And everyone should run for public office.
Yes.
Because it's just a humbling experience, yet very rewarding if you get the right connection, the right vision and the right support. But, you know, you're going back at it. So let me just ask you why, and then I want to talk a little bit about your priorities, and I got a couple other specifics I want to drill down to. But first and foremost, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. It's an honor. We had great opportunity when you were mayor to spend many years together, work on projects for the betterment of Green Bay. And it's great to see you and be part of your new show. Thank you. It's been a great honor. And as to answering your question as to, you know, why am I running? Why is it important? And the issues may change a bit from time to time, but the reason is the same. Is I have never found anything in life professionally that is rewarding as this work. Having the opportunity to every day wake up and serve people in this capacity in so many different variety of spaces and ideas and issues that need to be addressed. And so that has been a fantastic experience for me. And by the way, I'm delivering some results for the people. And so I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't succeeding at getting the ball across the goal line more than not. And so serving the people, I know it may seem corny or, you know, rote, but it really is true. And so it's incredibly fulfilling to have that. I still own and operate two small businesses on the side, like many in the state assembly Republicans. We still own other businesses and are doing that. So still active as a business owner, know what it's like to sign the front of a check, not just the back. And so I continue that today. But again, serving the people has been a great honor.
I can feel it. And I know you, and I've got to be nonpartisan when I do this interview, but we have done some pretty fun things together, you know? I mean, and part of being a good politician, and I've asked everyone on here, is working with people. And there are some people that like to work with certain people and not with other people. And that can be a challenge in politics. I mean, it really can. And not just, I mean, you guys really identify, you know, Democrat, Republican, but here, even locally here, Representative, you know, they don't wear the badge, but you can kind of feel it, right?
You can. And, but I'm willing to set that aside. My goodness, even you and I, Jim, at times have been on different sides, but we've always respected each other. And, you know, your passion for the people of this community has never been questioned. And, you know, the average state legislator gets only 20% of their bills signed into law. But I'm always willing to set politics aside, and that's why I get 43% of my bills signed into law. I'm just getting things done. And part of that is being willing to check my politics at the door when the people's needs require it.
That's awesome. I wish we had more of that. It just seems like when someone does try to be really cooperative, they have some people in their party saying, look, you know, you're being too nice, but you're not. There's just something that's not complimented like it should be.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate, ugly side of it, but I try to reject that, run my own races, walk my own walk, and, you know, I got to be accountable to myself at the end of the day, and for that reason, I try to work with everyone, and I think I've done a pretty good job of that over time.
Yeah. You're not afraid of the big issues either.
No, sir.
I mean, some people...
Sometimes maybe I should be, but I'm not.
Some people enjoy the low-hanging fruit, low profile, you know, don't put your head out too far because, you know, it can get cut off. That's never been your thing.
It hasn't. And in fact, some of it relates to even some of the things I've done this last session, things I plan to do. So I want to make Wisconsin a tax-free retirement state. Everyone over the age of 65 no longer paying income tax on any of their accounts. And that's a big swing. That's a big swing for the fence, but I think we can do it. And actually, I had bipartisan support for that. Also,
I would be a recipient.
Hey, you would like that, wouldn't you? No,
all income.
Yes. Yes. So Social Security is already exempt here in Wisconsin.
I don't take that, but I mean, I do, well, I don't get paid much here, but there's some other things I have.
So all income up to $125,000 from your retirement account every year, tax-free. I want you to think about that. And in a time when affordability is such an issue, especially for individuals on fixed income, fixed incomes are seniors. We're dealing with that affordability question so much every day. It's significant. And so
What's it over 125? I'm just kidding, you have to tell me that.
Well, 125, you'd be paying somewhere around 7.3%.
No, what you're paying now. Okay.
Yeah, what you're paying now.
All right. So it's $125,000 of like no taxable income.
No tax. I want you to think about that. That's roughly 90%.
I don't have to think about that very
90%
long.
Of Wisconsin residents would no longer pay income tax at all in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. And the question would come, and this is one of your champion projects.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons you're running.
Correct.
And is this in the 43% or in the... I mean, can you get this thing through, you think?
I do. So I started off with a higher number. In fact, it was up to 200,000. The governor said, that's getting too rich. And so we dialed it back. But the fact that I was able to have Democrats sign on both Senate and in the Assembly shows that there's understanding of this. I've been working with AARP, which, you know, they lean to the left. They are open to this. They want to talk more about how we can get this done. And I want to work with the governor. So I will be in the process in the next few weeks reintroducing that bill, working directly with the governor, as well as some of the surrogates that are around here to see if we can find a way forward on this. I want to find a win for the people. I'm not worried about a win for the Republican Party or the Democrat Party on something like this. I want to find a win for the people. And with high inflation environment, providing people more money in their pocket through a tax break, that we can afford, by the way. We have a $3 billion tax surplus. Yeah. We have an opportunity to provide this.
Well, you know, I follow you, not like I should. I'm not sure I knew this was as far along as it is. It sounds like it's got legs.
It does have legs. And, you know, there's 9 other states that are in this situation, and they're all benefiting from it.
Yeah.
Because when people have more money in their pocket, not only are they able to stay in their homes, but they're also spending it in the community.
Right.
And that increases the pie. It benefits the entire community, the state, and so it has great possibility.
You said something I just want to pick up on, and then I'll move on. You know, you're working with obviously the governor, but you're working with AARP to get things done. And even at my little level as the mayor, you have to build that power wheel. It's not just the legislative body that you got to get the city council to buy into it. Here in this town, it's nice when you get the Packers to buy into it.
Yes,
when you get the chamber. The Oneidas. I mean, that's the power wheel we have here. And if they can all agree, and like you said, if ARP can be on, some Democrats, the governor, that's where it's got a chance of sailing. And you're good at that.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, I really look back to, there was a great quote from Abraham Lincoln that I often think about. And he said, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first 2 hours sharpening my axe. Oh. I spend the first 2 hours sharpening my axe as a legislator, making sure the language is correct, making sure that wheel of influence, power, the individuals who can be helpful in a project are part of the development of the legislation. And in that way, there's greater buy-in and there's a greater chance of success.
Yeah. I'm not sure sharpening your axe before the legislator.
You got to be careful with your language nowadays. We're in a very volatile
environment. That's a great thing.
That was a metaphor, everybody. Okay. Metaphor.
I'm explaining that. I'm explaining it to the listeners. Couple other things that get you out of bed, keep you awake, motivated on. It's nice to hear you say, and I do know this from you already, that what keeps you awake is not, you don't worry, what keeps you awake is stuff you want to do. You know, you're one of those guys, and I've talked to you about that before. What's else on Dave Stepan agenda?
Yeah, there's a couple big issues that I've been working on and made some headway this last session, want to continue on, and one relates to online social, it's called the Kids Online Safety Act, and it's to provide a greater, safer environment for youth when they are online. Currently, the vast majority of youth have a tremendous amount of anxiety, self-harm, and depression as it relates to addiction to social media. And while social media, the First Amendment provides a tremendous amount of protection for the content that's provided, there is an opportunity to put some guardrails in place relating to the number of hours that minors can be allowed on, parental controls, things of that nature. And this is one where I'm kind of taking on the big tech companies, and it's a bit of a challenge. Again, I'm expecting greater bipartisan support on that. So that's one. Additionally,
I want to remind people that we are, because people are like, who the hell is this guy? Because they tuned in, right? They're driving. Dave Steffen, who's a candidate for District 4 here in the State Assembly, is talking about some of his issues. And we just spent some good time on something that would benefit, I don't know, what percent of our population is seniors? It's got to be 20%, right?
It's just over 20%, okay. And 90-plus percent would pay near zero income tax.
And now we're going to the other side of
the
kids. And this, what's it called, the protection?
It's for short, COSA, Kids Online Safety Act. And the U.S. Surgeon General, in fact, just today, came out with additional warnings that relates to the activity of youth on social media, the addictive properties, and the ability for those who are involved in both drug and human trafficking who use social media to entice and enroll our youth into illegal activity. Also, social media is the primary last-mile delivery mechanism for fentanyl and other drugs into our community. So we absolutely, I believe in the free market. I believe in social media being having its value and connecting people, but it has its drawbacks, and we have to be in a situation where we have some additional protections for the youngest among us.
Man, I tell you what, after that passes, you should look at ELOSA for adults online. I mean, there's a lot of issues with adults too.
Yes.
I just was at the at Western this morning, and we got into this conversation about people just getting offline, because especially Facebook and things, because it was just hurting their day.
I think we will find in a generation that the overuse, the addiction, and some of the throttling of specific content and advertising is going to be looked at a very dark time in our society's history. It's a new technology, relatively yet, still 20 years. And long term, it's going to be one of those things where we say, why didn't we have more controls on this thing? Why did we let this out of the box without any proper controls to protect people?
And the Surgeon General he's got out in front of this, just like smoking. I mean, this guy he wasn't the smoking one, but I'm just saying that for him to pick up this issue, that tells you it's serious.
And it's been multiple times that he's brought it up, as well as studies that have been done by Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic. All the major universities have identified these massive negative impacts on youth as it relates to the addictive properties that exist with social media.
All right. All right. Dave, this is awesome. We're here with Representative Dave Steffen, a candidate or an incumbent, I should say, District 4 for the State Assembly. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back. With Jim Schmidt, a very special guest in house today, Representative Dave Steffen, District 4, pretty much the Howard, Suamico, you have to O'Connell too, don't you?
Yeah, so it used to be Howard and South, to include all the way west side, Green Bay, Ashwaubenon, and Alloway, but now it's Howard North. So Howard, Suamico, and the majority of O'Connell.
Mm-hmm. How'd you like that play in music? You like that suits?
I love this.
I know, man.
Did you pick it?
I did. Right, Kyle? Kyle, I picked this music. Con, I did.
You did? Yes. Sure.
This is what happened.
Fake news.
No, you want to hear a story? Donna's in Nashville now. She goes there a lot. I've seen you on the plane before.
Yes.
You go to Nashville a lot, too.
Different reasons. I'm there to party, and you're there for family.
Anyway, and she was gone for a weekend, and so I said to Milton, my dog, I'm like, hey, look, man, let's just binge watch. And Suits It was on. And I came, after I listened to that music, I just loved it. So I came in here and said, hey, change the music to Suits music. So anyway, sorry to come on your time like that. Hey, this show, Lean Local, we talk about what we want to do locally. There are a lot of local issues that can and should be handled by the mayor and the county executive and, of course, county board and city council. However, they need the help of higher government, legislative, and some U.S. government. Anything that you see from your view that you could help the local community with?
Well, yeah, you know, from your perspective as mayor, as well as mine, is we both have agreed that the greatest opportunity for providing additional services at a lower cost is to grow the economy. And so when there are opportunities to grow the economy, grow the property tax base in our community, we have an opportunity to have those additional resources while still even cutting taxes. And so one of the things that I worked on, and it would not have happened without you, is to focus on the redevelopment of downtown Green Bay along the river. And that involves a 40-acre piece of property, which currently has a coal storage location, and moving that to the mouth of the river. That will transition that property from something that is only generating $100,000 in taxes per year to perhaps $2 to $5 million in taxes, plus even more than that.
You're going to be more than that.
Per year. And so that is, and oh, by the way, it transitions the west side of the river like you had done on the east side of the river. Every successful community in the world has used its waterways to maximize its economic impact and benefit its community. Green Bay has done a great job on that, but it's not done. And so we have an opportunity to complete some of that. And you're right, I have been helpful in trying to get greater attention at the state level, as well as shaking the bush in D.C., because there's some federal money that's available there, and I believe we'll get that done in the next 2 to 4 years.
Really? I was going to ask that because, look, everyone's worked on that. I mean, for God's sake, Romy Dennison worked on that. You know, he was elected mayor the year I was born. I mean, that's just been something that
1910. 1910, is that right?
Come on, Dave.
Don't punch me.
Okay. But that could be a $200 million development on that 40 acres.
Easily.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're going to have, you know, green space roads and all that, but the taxable could be easily $200 million.
It's a quarter mile of riverfront space. I want you to think about that, listeners.
I've thought about it.
Think of a quarter mile of riverfront.
What makes you think it's going to happen? And look, I was, you know, tried as hard as I did. I think it's closer than it's ever been, but it's still not done. How do you think we're going to get over that hump? And or you don't have to tell us now, but you have that confidence it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Cool.
First of all, there's been some state money that has been able to be shaken loose to be part of it. So that's helped. $11 million roughly. There's been there's been some federal money that's been already shaken loose, DOT related money. And there's additional DOT money that I am confident is going to be coming. And I say DOT, I'm talking federal DOT. Big dollars that I'm confident is going to happen in the next 2 years. So when you have both the local, county, state, and federal each pitching in and saying this should be a priority, that's when big things can happen. And I believe that's going to happen for Green Bay.
That's awesome. That is awesome. A couple other things that I do follow you a little bit. The Alloway prison, right?
Yeah. So 126-year-old facility, it is too small, too dangerous, too expensive.
Built for 500 people, houses 1,200.
Yeah. So I want you to think about that. We found a way to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag, but it's
I've been through there. And people are bigger than they used to be, too.
They're much bigger. And so, you know, the reality is between that place and Waupun, which is the oldest facility in Wisconsin, $100 million a year is being spent to operate those two buildings. We can save 40% on operating costs with a new facility. And oh, by the way, do we really think that having two of the 10 oldest prisons in the entire country is sustainable for much longer? We're continuing to have issues of all kinds, from an operational, mechanical, staffing. You know, just today, the lawsuits were filed relating to this. So the taxpayers can only support so much. The facility can only support so much. And because it takes 4 years to build a new one, we need to start now.
All right. Dave, Representative, we got like a minute and a half. Tell me, you don't have to tell me, but tell the people, why should they vote for Dave Steffens? The election's coming up.
Yeah.
And people got to get out and vote, too. I mean, I encourage that, you know, every week on my show, but
So we have some dramatic issues, and we can address some of them. The affordability issue by taking some of that $3 billion surplus and driving that back to the people who overpaid through tax cuts, tax-free retirement, as well as a middle-class tax cut. We can also have a safer communities with some of the projects and programs that I've introduced relating to fentanyl and increasing some of our law enforcement. Finally, I have been successful at delivering results for the people of the 4th for 10 years. I've been at the top of the mark. I want to continue to deliver those results for you, the people, and that is my goal, and that's why I'm hoping to get your support.
All right. Representative Dave Steffens, District 4, get out and vote November 5th. Really, thanks for what you're doing. It's a lot of work, not a lot of money. Appreciate what you're doing. God bless you. Good luck on the trail.
God bless you, Mayor.
All right,
thank
care.
You.
Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.